Dreaming of deep relationships that come from a close-knit community? Wish you could find a way to grow together in your faith? Do you desire to tap into God's peace and wisdom? In this episode, we're going to share ways to implement Moms in Prayer into your community. Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello! We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this.
Hi, friend. Did you know that we have a free Facebook community where we learn and grow together? Today, we are revisiting how to pray with your community and all the pearls of wisdom we received from Susan Shepherd in our awesome interview with her last week. We'd love for you to tell us how we can pray for your community by posting it over on our Facebook page, Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Last week, we interviewed Susan Shepherd from Moms in Prayer. She's the USA coordinator. And this week, we wanted to give you some practical tips to implement this into your community.
Yeah, so last week when we talked to Susan, a lot of what she was talking about was women moms who get together and they come knee to knee and they pray over their schools. And we wanted to narrow that down even further and figure out how can we implement this into our communities.
Because we have a unique challenge being in a homeschool community. We don't often have a lot of free time.
Yes.
So how can we maximize our time together, but still make this very important thing happen?
So we can start with just giving an example of how we do it in our community right now, which I think maybe we will try to change or maybe add on to. But right now we do it on Zoom because that is what has worked so far for us. And we meet early in the morning, mostly before our kids are awake, 6:30 in the morning. We meet for an hour on Zoom. Nobody has to leave their house. And it's pretty easy to get it done. However, there's, I don't know, a good number of moms in our community who don't want to be up at 6:30 in the morning. That doesn't work for everybody. And so we were talking about after the interview last time, how could we do this during our homeschool day, during our community day? What are ways that we could do this? We're already all together. How could we maximize our time together on our community day? So I know we had some good ideas. Pam, what was your thought with your community about how you could do this?
Well, I was, after that interview, I was super excited and I went back immediately. We had our first day back on Monday and I introduced the idea and I had some takers on it. And the fact that you only need one other person to come alongside in agreement with you in prayer was super exciting to me. I only need one person that can sit down and pray with me together. And the fact that if you have a smaller group, you can get through it in less than an hour. So I think that is the key. So one of the things we do at our co-op is we really try to foster connection between moms or parent teachers. We do have some male teachers, but we really try to connect them by creating spaces in our community where people can sit down and chit chat or encouraging them to go walk on their off hours or different things like that, having outside type of get togethers and whatnot. But after listening to Susan's talk, I just felt like, what perfect way can you grow in your faith and get to know somebody else in such a deep, intimate way? And on top of that, praying against those the enemy that who is after your community and you as a leader too. So I just thought it was a beautiful way to like nail all those things down in one go.
Yep. Yeah. Kill like a whole bunch of birds with one stone.
Yeah,
right?
Kill the whole flock in one go. It's just so amazing.
That's right.
So that's how I think that we will be implementing it, is encouraging people on their off hours, especially because it's so easy. We could all have print out the same list. So Molly, you should talk a little bit about the list and remind us what the list is about and how could we use that in our off hours.
Yeah. So on the Moms in Prayer website, there's a whole resources page with prayer sheets that are arranged based on attributes of God. And so you pick one of those attributes of God that you like. I always pray before I pick it for that week. What do we need to be focusing on? This last week, I felt drawn to God is our shepherd, because we're stepping out into this new semester and we want to follow him and we want to listen to his voice. And that was what I felt drawn to pray about. So I printed out that sheet, and in our group, what I've decided to do, there's a place in there to pray for staff and administration. Well, in our homeschool, the staff and administration are the teachers, are the mentors. So in that place, I've been going through our list of mentors alphabetically, and each week we pray for three of them. So we pray for them and their families during that time. So I'm almost through our whole community, and then we'll go back to the top and start praying again for, so then everybody gets covered at some point during the semester. Prayer sheets are basically laid out, and then you can just fill in, like with the Thanksgiving, I fill in our answers to prayer. It's pretty cool because I can go back to the previous prayer sheets and go, okay, well, what were we praying for 3 weeks ago? Oh, that prayer was answered. And so I put that down on the Thanksgiving part, you know, wow, God did this. He answered our prayer. He listened to us. And I don't know of anything else that builds people's faith as much as that, is really seeing we prayed for this and God answered this prayer. And I think it's really important to remember to mark those things. So I filled in the Thanksgiving. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you saying then that you will use the same prayer list more than 1 week? You'll use that list till you get through everybody, or do you do a different prayer list the next week?
We use a different prayer sheet each week based on an attribute of God. But my list that we're praying for is our list of families in our community. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So because you're praying over that attribute of God, but you're praying that attribute over these people, right?
You can do it that way, or you can simply pray for what needs you know that those people have.
Oh,
so
okay.
The first aspect of the prayer sheet is praise for who God is. The second attribute is confession. The third one is thanksgiving. So it's thanksgiving for God's attributes, but it's also thanksgiving for what he has done. So specifically, how has he answered your prayers? And what has he done in your life? Or however you felt led to pray in thanksgiving for God. And then the last section is intercession. And so you intercede for each person who's there praying, picks one child of their own that they want to intercede for that week. There is a scripture that you pray specifically for that child, and then whatever God leads you to pray, what you know those needs are for your child, you pray those things. The other person or people agree with you in prayer over that child, and then you go on to the next person's child. then you go through and pray for teachers, mentors, staff, administration. Then you pray for the school. Then you pray for moms in prayer. So I think the intercession part, to me, you can lay it out however works for your community. It was my own idea, or maybe it was God's idea this year, to pray for each of our families in alphabetical order, because I want everybody to be covered in prayer. We can't pray for everybody every week. There's 30 families, right? So, So I just said, okay, well, we'll take it a little bit at a time and pray for everybody. Everybody's going to get covered at some point.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I was thinking about, Molly, was in our morning time, our mother culture time, that it would be, that might be a good use of our time, maybe once a month or once a quarter or something to, because we've done prayer in that time before, where someone comes up with a list of questions or something to provide some guidance. But right. Moms in Prayer already has that.
It's
and so
perfect.
That would really simplify, right? So it's not more work for anyone else. And then it also, I think the more we can expose all of the moms in the community to this formatted prayer, the more they can use it, whether it's at home. I mean, because you could follow this same format at home in daily prayer. Right?
Absolutely.
So
I think that's a great
more
idea.
Equipping for, because sometimes we're busy moms, and we think we possibly couldn't have time for all of that. But as I'm learning, we have to make the important things the important things.
Yeah.
And so teaching us how to pray more effectively, I think, is an important skill to foster.
One of the things I love about it is that there are scriptures already written out on there. And so when you are praying scripture, you know you're praying in the will of God, and he's faithful and just to answer those who pray in his will, right? So I find so much peace and just joy at the end of that prayer time. It's hard to explain, actually. I mean, it's not that I don't pray other times, but it's very specific and it's very
purposeful,
grounded in
like
scripture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
would you say that one of the effects of it feeling a little bit differently is because you've joined with others in prayer also?
For sure. Yes. That makes it super important, or it makes a big difference. And oftentimes it's only two of us that are praying. But like you said at the beginning, Pam, that's all we need. God promises to hear us, you know, where two or three are gathered in his name, right? So, and I often, for example, I'll be praying for my own child, and in agreeing with me in that prayer, somebody else will say something that I will be like, oh, yes, Lord, that is what I need to pray for my kid. I didn't even think of it in those terms, but that is what I need. And somehow the Spirit told that mom, you know, what my kid needed, or sees them in such a way that it's a different pair of eyes than what I have. And so, yeah, sharing those things brings you closer together. It brings a bond that you don't get any other way. And I really have experienced that.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter if it's just the two of you, or if it's two in one room, three in another room, or whatever. I think that you can still implement it and still be bonded to your sisters that you are doing life with, that you're committed to doing life with at your community. It's going to be such an amazing bonding experience. I have a logistical question, Molly, and you might be able to answer this because you're familiar with their policies, their rules, whatever it is. So because we have men, so, and our men are very involved in our community. Like, they're almost like moms in men's clothing because they're like so into it. They, you know, like they get FOMO when we do mom stuff and then they're not invited. So I kind of feel a little bit like this, you know, because it's for women. It's not for men. And I'm assuming that that's one of their policies.
Yes, absolutely. That is because it's different if you're paying, or if you're praying with a mom, than if you're, because there is an intimacy that's created when you pray.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's not appropriate. But the dads could pray together.
That's what I was going to suggest. Are they off at the same time that they could have their own prayer?
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. They just like to be in the crowd with the ladies. Yeah, they just like to be included. It's very sweet and cute and funny and sad sometimes because I want to include them because they are super fun. But we just have to do it in different ways. So that makes sense what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You don't want to create an intimacy between moms and other dads. Mm-hmm. You definitely don't want to put yourself in situations like that. So I think sticking together and then they can also pray together. One of the things why I'm so super excited to do this is because I think leaders recognize and see the spiritual battle that is happening because we have that perspective of we kind of get to see all the good, the bad, the ugly, whereas a lot of the people who are just attending your community don't necessarily see all of the battle that's happening. And so I'm really excited to be actively praying and being in the battle with God's word against that spiritual battle.
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons we started this back up again this year, because we had done it a couple years ago and I was not leading it at that time. But this year, that is the reason. I have felt so convicted that the things that we face today in our communities and in our world, the difficult things that we face are based in the spiritual realm. And we can't fight against that enough, honestly. We can't gird ourselves up too much to be prepared for that. I think it's just going to get harder. We are in a dark time.
Mm-hmm. One of the other benefits is that if you are praying with other moms, now you've opened it up to where it's not just you that sees the spiritual battle, but that your community will also be praying against it with you as well, instead of just and reminding them that there is a spiritual battle and that it's not your sister in Christ that's sitting across from you who you feel like just has an attitude and is like trying to take you down. It's not that you actually love that person.
Right.
So
she's not the enemy. We know who the enemy is.
Yeah, she is not the enemy. So the three things so far that we have that you could implement is, one, Molly, you said that you guys do it on Zoom. I feel like that's a super practical way. You might as well do it on Zoom if that's the only way that you can get it done. As homeschool moms, just do it. Just make sure that it's getting done.
Mm-hmm.
The second way is in your off hours. I feel like that's an awesome thing because you could have multiple moms and prayer groups going throughout your day at your co-op. What a blessing that would be, and to see God working in that way with connection and seeing him work in your community. And then the third way was a combination of both of those things. And even like the men just trying to come up with a way that they could also participate in that prayer too.
Well, and what Hannah said, we have our first hour is our mother culture. And I believe you have a time like that too, Pam. Mm-hmm. So during that mom's meeting time, and use that time to do moms in prayer.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Molly, you could have some of those sheets that in that room are just there during the day. And then, you know, if moms come there, they congregate there. They could just sit and talk, or we could challenge them to be intentional and pray together.
Yeah.
I love the idea of being in prayer throughout the day. I just think what power there is to have that covering throughout the school day. I think it could really impact just how the whole day goes, right?
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. Great suggestions, you guys. I love it. I'm super excited.
Well, and if anyone listening implements any of these things, we would love to hear how it turns out and what you try and what works and what doesn't work. I think that the more that we can communicate about those things and spread ideas, that the better, you know. Yeah, let's pray for each other.
Yeah. We have a Bible verse today. It's Romans 8:27. And it says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Isn't that amazing, folks? Like, we have a God who is interceding for us. We don't have to strive. We don't have to try and do it all on our own. He is wanting to be with us and work with us and participate in your co-ops, in your leadership, in your parenting, in your marriages, in all of it. And we can rely on him. And so go to the Facebook page, put your prayer requests in there. We want to pray for you. And just know that we are praying for you throughout the week. And we know how hard it can be being a leader, but God has called you into an amazing blessing, because you get to interact with him and you get to participate with all of the wonderful things that is happening. Yeah, it's hard sometimes, but nothing that's worth anything is easy. And just know that you're not alone, and we are thinking about you, we're praying for you, and we just pray abundance of blessings over you and your co-op, your community. So we'll see you next time. Can't wait to talk to you again. Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.